Hey, before we get started, I just wanted to say thanks to our longtime sponsors, Aureus Medical Staffing, helping you, physical therapists or physical therapist assistants, find jobs all over this country with positions in all settings in all 50 states. Find out what they have for you at AUREUSmedical.com. That is AUREUSmedical.com.
Make sure to follow us online
at PT Pintcast and
subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Podcasts.
I absolutely love
it. I love you, love you, love you.
It's awesome.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are live. Welcome to PT Pintcast. It is a podcast that saves physical therapists from missing out on amazing insight, remarkable ideas, and motivational stories in the world of physical therapy. Hi, I'm Jimmy McKay. I am your host. We have got a little bit of a different type of show for you today, focused on research. And by focused, I mean enough focus that even I can focus, because it's 60 seconds. Yeah, we're doing a special edition of the show that we are calling 60 Second Research. We're going to break down an article. And by we, I mean one of our guests who's way smarter than me, is going to break down a research article in just 60 seconds. Want to say thanks to our friends at Aureus Medical Staffing, leaders in hashtag travel physical therapy. Find them online at AUREUSmedical.com. Let's bring in our guest, no stranger to the show, been on multiple times, Becky Bliss. Becky, welcome back.
Thanks so much for having me.
I'm used to being like in control, and I feel like I'm a little on edge with this type of show, because it's like, hey, we're gonna break down an article in 60 seconds. I reached out to you not long ago, and the idea was, hey, everybody's a lifelong learner, and we need to be reading research. And if you're on Twitter, in PT Twitter, you see people sharing links to articles. People try to like end arguments with a citation or a link. That's not really how you do it. But the idea is, are we actually reading the things that people are sharing a lot? Are we actually getting out what we need to put it into clinical practice? That often cited it takes 17 years for something to go from research.
Right.
That's the thing all the time. Is that even true? Maybe we'll do that in a future episode. But the idea here was, our attention spans are getting shorter and shorter. Instagram stories are pretty much 60 seconds. It's kind of industry standards. If you can hang out for a minute and we can break down an entire article in 60 seconds, that would actually help with knowledge translation, is the sciencey term for sharing information quickly. And that's where we come in with this kind of like merging of communications and physical therapy research. All right. So for your background, for people who don't know you and haven't seen you or heard you on the show before, give people your superhero backstory, because it's quite superhero-y.
Oh, thank you. I don't know about that. But I've been a practicing clinician for 19 years, physical therapist, went to Ithaca College up in upstate New York.
Gorgeous.
Yep, absolutely gorgeous. Ha, LOL. For those of you who have been to Ithaca, will understand that. And then 15 years of clinical practice, really loved my job, but loved being with students even more. And so had an opportunity to jump into academics. And there is where I've been since 2015. My specialty is neuro. I'm board certified neurotherapist, but my even more subspecialty is concussion research. And so I have been blessed here at the University of Missouri. I've got a grant that we are looking at a tool that can be utilized on the sidelines in clinical practice, a little bit more portable, accessible, objective measurement of some of the things we're going to talk about today in this research article. So we have been granted that money to try to develop that tool. And so I am actually it's awesome what I'm doing here at Mizzou. I can actually be in clinical practice. I can be in the clinic. I can be seeing patients, our SEC D1 patients with concussion, teaching it, and then, you know, doing all this other fun stuff too. So I have the best job.
And you've been in a couple other academic programs as well. We've kind of followed your tour around, you know, the country here.
Yeah, so got started at University of St. Mary in Kansas City. Awesome, awesome place. Got recruited out to Charlotte, North Carolina at Wingate, and then got recruited back here to the Midwest. My family is a big Midwestern family. We absolutely love it here. And my husband, funny thing, was like, if you're going to be in academics, we need to be at a school that I can have fun watching sporting events. So now I'm here in the SEC. So
there you go. You got it. All right, so the setup for this, I reached out to you and said, Becky, if you could pick one article and break it down in 60 seconds, and you were like, I don't know, can we do that? And I said, let's try it, and why not do it live and see if we fail, so people could chime in with us. we'll go through the article. That won't be included in the 60 seconds. So I'll let everybody know the title. And it's a long one because I feel like this title can take 60 seconds to read. We got to tighten this up, guys. They need a marketer and a communicator guy to help them out. But the title is Concussed Athletes Walk Slower Than Non-Concussed Athletes During Cognitive Motor Dual Task Assessments, But Not During Single Task Assessments 2 months After Sports Concussion. All in a single breath right there. It was a systematic review and meta-analysis. You can find it in BJSM from January 2020, so pretty recent, and the authors Butter and Howell et al. So that is what Becky is going to break down. All right, did I mess any of that up?
No, great introduction. Just for those listening, Howell is absolutely a rock star in concussion specific to these dual task assessments that are that linked to the higher level neuromotor control that has been postulated to put athletes who have returned to play post-concussively at an increased risk of lower extremity musculoskeletal injury. So he is out of Colorado. If you're not following him on Twitter, go ahead and follow him. He posts some great stuff, and that's actually where the article came from, was Twitter. So
Twitter, you bump into stuff, but we got to make sure people go in deep, right? They don't just see the article, the title, and read the conclusion. You got to go through it. So we've got several benchmarks for you to hit along the way, things for you to do, but at no point you go over 60 seconds because Becky, my attention span at best, let's be honest, at best my attention span is a minute.
It's a hard task here.
Do you need anything to start, or are you just ready to go?
I'm ready to go.
All right, let's put the visual effect on the screen. I like the ominous drone in the background.
Let's see if she can do this.
Let's see if she can do this. All right. I will man the banner so we can keep along and keep track. But here is 60-second research. Here comes the intro.
Okay, we're prepping to go live.
Timer, clear your watch.
Check. Intense science music.
Check.
Microphone. Talk. External auditory need is clear.
Research. Coming in hot. Now.
Go! All right, current concussion assessment tools may not be difficult enough to identify residual neuromotor control deficits in athletes that have sustained a concussion. And that's where we get at this evidence could be the postulated reason for why the athletes post-concussive are 2 to 3 times greater, have a greater risk of subsequent lower extremity musculoskeletal injury. So this poses to question current return to sport decision-making tools and injury mitigation strategies for concussed athletes. Are we doing what we should be doing to mitigate this? So in this systematic review meta-analysis, slower walking speeds and greater frontal plane center of mass displacement was found during dual task activities to include cognitive motor challenges as compared to single task activities up to 2 months following injury. Gait impairments persisted beyond reported clinical recovery timelines, and current assessment methods may not be sensitive enough to identify these residual deficits prior to return to play. Dual task assessments with motion capture may be a useful clinical assessment method to evaluate higher level motor control following concussion injury. Studies that included individuals, who was included? Studies that included individuals with sports concussion and non-injured controls. How did they do it? Systematic review and meta-analysis, looking at inclusion criteria that included concussed and controlled participants with steady state walking or static balance task as the primary motor task, and dual task performance was assessed with the addition of a second cognitive task. So what? Dual task motor cognitive assessment showed residual neuromotor deficits in concussed athletes as compared to match controls, as a single task was not a discriminating condition, which is what our current assessment levels are looking at. This indicates that current assessment tools may not be sensitive enough to identify residual neuromotor control impairments. What's it mean for us? It confirms that higher level neuromotor control, specifically dual motor cognitive, may help identify residual deficits following concussion up to 2 months post-injury. So now what? Clinicians should be employing dual task, higher level cognitive motor assessments in athletes following concussion and prior to return to play. What went wrong with this study? Continued investigation of what is best assessment tool is unknown. We don't have best practice, but we know we should be doing something with dual task and cognitive assessment. So what does this mean? Athletes need to be able to cognitively make decisions, react, and perform during gameplay. Assessment tools that can mirror these skills needed for sport may help identify higher level neuromotor control deficits that are currently undetected with our static single task measures and mitigate the risk of subsequent lower extremity musculoskeletal injury.
Becky, well done. I think it was a little over a minute. That's okay.
I couldn't hear the music, so I was like, ah!
That's all right. Well, you did well. And you learned something. We're going to drop the link to this article. Concussed athletes walk slower than non-concussed athletes during cognitive motor dual task assessments, but not during single task assessments 2 months after sports concussion. Systematic review of meta-analysis. You learned something. And we'll see how far this can go on the Twitter, but they've broken it down. How'd that feel? Trying to bring all that research together in just one 60-second chunk right there.
I think, like, for the end user, right, who's trying to get, what do I need to know? How do I implement this? What can I do better? I think it's going to work, but we'll have to see based on some feedback and things like that.
We're testing it out. But that's really what it is. You know, like, I always tell people, like, whenever you're working with a patient or you're just talking to someone at a dinner party and you're stuck with something to say, you are armed with six things at all times. It's who, what, where, when, why, and how. Ask a question. This is how I appear smarter than other people. I am not smart, but I just ask questions. And when you ask questions at dinner parties or at social gatherings or with patients, you're going to get more information. And that's the idea. So I think asking these questions and going through articles, this is a good breakdown. You should be asking yourself, what is it? Who's it looking at? How did they look at it? So what does it mean? Now what comes next and how are you going to apply it into clinical practice? What went wrong? And then what's the conclusion? What am I taking away from this? So I think that's what you were able to do with this 60-second research. We'll try it again.
Agreed.
All right. Anything to say before we let the audience go?
No, but if you have questions, reach out to me. I've got lots of resources that can share your way if you're trying to figure out what dual task measures should I be doing? What should I be having my athletes doing? There's a lot of good, yep, absolutely, there you go. There's how you can reach me, but there's some really good early evidence of what we could be doing in clinical practice. So I'm happy to share those.
Perfect. And would love to have you back when you've got a little more information to share about your project that you're working on out there, Mizzou. We'll see if we can take that. That's hard, right? When you work for months and months and years, and you're like, hey, you got to break it down to 60 seconds. You're like, oh, I can't possibly do that. But that's literally what they taught us in journalism school is you'd walk into class and everybody, all my roommates were jealous because I was the only journalism major. And I'd walk in at 9 a.m. and my class would be on the dry erase board, not even a professor in the room. Go out and turn a story into me by noon about a person on this campus. And you're like, that's great. And it'll be like 1,000 words. And you'd submit 1,000 words by noon. You'd get an email back that said, that's great. By 5 p.m., I want 500 words. And that's when you realize that you have to write for brevity. But maybe we need to do that as clinicians as well in terms of let's get to it. We need to share it because people's attention spans are getting a little shorter. But get to it. Don't dance. Let's just get to the answer.
Agreed.
All right.
It's a good skill to have.
Thanks for taking a shot with us in this very first edition of 60 Second Research.
Love the PT Pinecast?
Yes. Yes.
Support the show by telling a friend or by leaving a review on iTunes or Google Play.
All right. Show today brought to you by the Brooks Institute of Higher Learning, an innovator in providing advanced post-professional education. Brooks IHL offering continuing education courses in numerous specialty areas, 6 PT residency programs, an OMPT fellowship, as well as challenging but rewarding internships. The IHL specializes in the translation of information from evidence to patient management. Learn what they can do for you to support your professional development at brooksihl.org.
Our home on the internet.
PTPintcast.com.
Created by BuildPT. BuildPT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting,
providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what BuildPT can do for you today
at BuildPT.com.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC.
It's poured fresh by me,
physical therapist Jimmy McKay.
Ingredients are sourced by our Chief Connections Officer,
Sky Donovan from Marymount University.
And it's brewed fresh by producer and physical therapist,
Juliet Dassinger.
And by producer and creator, second-year PT student,
Bridget Nolan from Sacred Heart University.
PT Pintcast is a podcast that saves physical therapists from missing out on amazing insight, remarkable ideas, and motivational stories.
Make sure to follow us online
at PT Pintcast and
subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Podcasts.
I absolutely love it.
I love you, love you, love you.
It's awesome.
Thanks so much for listening. And if you found value in the show, all we ask
is that you tell a friend.
This has been another pour from the PT Pintcast. The PT Pintcast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpintcast.com.